Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace in our lives that allows us to worship you, to come together, to be your children. And God, we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. Last fall, I was at the Lake Huron Retreat Center. It's a United Methodist camp over on Lake Huron with a bunch of other pastors and clergy doing some conference work. And on their beach, another pastor and I went looking for Petoskey stones. Realized that this camp is used by a lot of people, and there's only a small beach. And I thought, it's probably picked clean of Petoskey stones. Now, I don't know if you've ever gone looking for Petoskey stones before, but there's a couple of things you got to keep in mind. First, you have to know what you're looking for. All those stones, they just look the same. And there's a specific type of pattern on the stone that you look for. And so if you don't know what the pattern looks like to begin with, it's hard to know if you ever find a Petoskey stone. And secondly, the thing about looking for Petoskey stones is oftentimes you have to wet the stone to see the pattern of the Petoskey stone. And so without those two things, you're going to have a really difficult time. But on discovery of a Petoskey stone, what do? You hold it up for everyone to see and you say, "Hey, I found a Petoskey stone." Isn't that what you do? Okay, that's what I do. You don't hide it, but you announce it, and that in your joy you found this great treasure. Maybe you have to polish it up and you could put it in a jewelry setting of some kind or put it somewhere where people can see it, but it's just a joyful thing. Now, of course, on this area of Lake Huron shore, there were lots of rocks, and I was able to find two Petoskey stones, of which, when I found them, I did what? Hey, I found a Petoskey stone, right? Of course, I held it up, and then I even went so far as to show some other people that weren't on the beach that I had found a Petoskey stone. You know why I found that Petoskey stone or those Petoskey stones? Because I was intentional. Because I was intentional. And because I was intentional, I was rewarded. Now, as we continue to look at the prayer of Jabez, let's once again look at the breakdown of that prayer. Read it with me. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Do you understand what probably one of the most important aspects of this prayer is? Jabez was intentional. He was intentional. And because he was intentional, it said that God rewarded him. Because he was intentional, Jabez experienced a specific response from God from a specific prayer request of God. In this case, he was blessed by God. God expanded his territory. God guided him and kept him from harm and pain. Friends, it's okay to ask God to bless you. But remember, it's how God wants to bless you, not how you want to be blessed. If you ask God to bless you, God's going to bless you. But you better be looking for it, because it may not come in the way that you want it to come. And it's okay to ask God to expand your territory, to build your business, to grow your influence. Not for the sake of becoming powerful or wealthy, but for the sake of having an opportunity to share God with more people. For the sake of building the kingdom of God. And it's this third part of the prayer. It's that it's asking God's hand to be with us or upon us. And biblically, when God's hand was upon his people in the Bible, it was for the express purpose for God to guide them or give them power to do a specific task. For instance, when the Israelites went crossing over the Jordan River to the Promised Land, God had Joshua take 12 stones, one stone representing each of the tribes, and place them on the eastern border of the riverbed. And God said, this is what it says in Scripture, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he did to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over.'" And then this part, read it with me. "He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." So that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 11, persecution breaks out against the church. And it says that some of the believers had gone to Antioch. And it says of these believers that they began to speak to Greeks, which was a no-no, by the way. We're Jews. We don't speak to Greeks about God. But they went and spoke to Greeks, telling them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it states this, "The Lord's hand was upon them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord." So the Lord's hand was upon them. Their words became powerful. People believed and they turned to the Lord. So we see that the Lord's hand is powerful, but what really is the hand of the Lord for us today? In Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells his disciples before he leaves, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and in Jerusalem and to the ends of the until the ends of the earth." You see, the power of God comes to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And it's important to know that when the Holy Spirit comes, that we are empowered by God. We're empowered to do the will of God in our lives. Now, God doesn't give us His hand, His power, that is the Holy Spirit, just so that we can exist here on earth. To exist in relative safely, to play video games, to just veg. God doesn't give us power for those reasons. God's hand is upon us so that we might live righteous lives, holy lives, so that we can give a powerful witness to God or of God to others. By the things that we say, by the actions that we take. And it's important to know that we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional, deliberate, to use this power, this unlimited Spirit of God in us. I could say I want to find a Petoskey stone on a beach. I could even say I feel led by God to find a Petoskey stone on a beach. But if I don't get up and act on that, what's going to happen? Nothing. In a sense, we quench the Spirit of God in our lives when we do nothing for God. An employer, as part of your benefit packages, offers you vacation. And for many places, if you don't use that allotted vacation, it's gone. Now, I'm not saying that the Spirit leaves us, but if we don't ask God, if we don't talk to God about the things that we need, bless us, enlarge our territory, let your hand be upon me, keep me from harm and pain. If we don't ask, can we expect that to be an answer to any prayer? Well, it's not a prayer, so I guess we wouldn't expect an answer, would we? If you're not purposeful, not only to experience the Spirit's power but to be led by the Spirit of God, then you won't experience power. You won't be led by God. God will not force you to follow your spiritual guide, your Holy Spirit. And when a person doesn't, I believe this is when we lose our way. We stray from God. We feel distant from God. We don't experience God's power in our lives, and the peace of God is nowhere to be found. It's like saying, I have the Holy Spirit, but you put the Spirit in a closet somewhere in your life, and you never let Him out. We have to be willing to allow the Spirit room in our lives, in our whole life, to operate. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We all have the Holy Spirit residing in us because we are believers in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who died on the cross for our sins, for our disobedience to God, that we might be set free. And one of the rewards we get is we get ushered into heaven to be with God for all eternity. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? The most important thing we can do is to ask God to let His hand be with us. I think that's the next most important thing to accepting Jesus Christ, is to say, God, let Your hand be with me, be upon me. I.e., come Holy Spirit and fill my life, not just come enough of the Spirit that I can put you in a closet on a shelf, close the door, and then maybe take you out when I need you most. Guide me in this life not to settle for good, but to go for the best that God has for me, which is more of God and doing more of God's will in my life on this earth. In our scripture today, Peter and John heal someone because of the hand of God was upon them or with them. They had the Holy Spirit and they were allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to work through them to heal this man. More than allowing, they were relying on God's Spirit to empower them to do the work of God. And after going back to the rest of the group of believers after they were released, they prayed to God. And they acknowledged God and God's power over all creation and how God's will had been accomplished for Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And then they make a request of God. It's just not a bunch of platitudes to God. God, You are great. God, we praise Your name. God, You are awesome, Most High God. It's not just that, although that's what we do need to do more often, I believe, as Christians. But they make this request of God. They intentionally ask for something specific, something we should, as Christians, all be doing on a regular basis. Do you remember what that request was? Read it with me. Now, Lord, enable Your servants to speak Your word with great boldness. Stretch out Your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of Your holy servant, Jesus. They were asking God, requesting God to intentionally use them. When was the last time you asked God to use you? Not by their power, not by their own power, but to use them via God's power, via God's Holy Spirit. Guide me, God. Enable me, God, to speak Your word with great boldness, to claim Your promises. Stretch out Your hand to do what? To guide me, to heal me, to perform signs and wonders. If I had not asked God this morning to heal me so that I could do His work, I would not be here this morning because I wouldn't want to infect you. What I want to infect you with, though, is the Holy Spirit. Let Him blow through you, use you, fill you through the name of Your Holy Spirit, Your holy servant Jesus. You see, if I want to find a Petoskey stone, I have to intentionally get up off my backside and go to the beach. I need to get down close enough to the rocks to see them and then lift them up when I think I find one, wet it, and see if it's truly one I need or see if it's truly a Petoskey stone. And if I do those things, if I allow myself to do those things, I'm going to have more success. Wouldn't you say? So why don't we invite the Holy Spirit to fill us? Fill us to overflowing every morning, every day. Can you imagine what happened to to the disciples when they prayed that prayer? To fill us, to use us, to empower us. God answered their prayer. Read what it says. Maybe not. Let me tell you what it says. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Was shaken. That's up there now. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Imagine that. They asked the God for power to speak boldly, and what did God do? God delivered. What is it that you need for God to do in your life today? Right now. What do you need the Holy Spirit of God to empower you to do for God's glory? For God's will to be done in your life? A number of years ago, a couple came back from a youth group retreat called TeenServe. And they came back and they met with me and wanted to tell me what it was all about. And they had a great time. And as they were leaving, they said this, "Pastor, we can do this here." Well, I didn't want to discourage them. And so I said, "Well, find out more about it and let's talk again." Eventually, they came back and they had this list of stuff that needed to be done. A leadership team would need to be formed, and there would need to be several steps done in advance before they would say, "Yes, you could have it even here." Well, I thought, well, I can do some of this stuff. So I had to secure the school, which is where 400 youth and adults would be housed for a week, while then they went out day by day within a 25-mile radius to do home repair work or painting inside or outside homes. Even roofs were re-roofed. Now, I love to do good things, and I want to do good things for God, but I tell you what, my prayer was, God, enable me to do these things, to have favor in the eyes of the people I speak to so that we can secure the school. Guide me, God. And after a couple of weeks of talking with our local school, they committed to opening up the school, and then the next part was to get a leadership team together to do all of the advanced work that needed to be done. I needed to find the right leaders and help to develop the right teams of people who would do promotions, who would go search for homes that needed help, and then evaluate the people who needed help. Did they really need help, or were they just wanting someone to come and paint their living room for them? And then to do promotion, and then there was this finance team. We needed to raise like $17,000 to $20,000. Someone had to secure donations and materials and stuff like that. Now, I want to tell you, God, let me do your will, right? I will coordinate this event. I can do that. Got people to do the inspections, to go find the homes, to promote the event. And there was one lady left that I needed to approach and ask her to be the finance person. And so I went to Peggy and I said, "Peggy, would you, I know you've been involved with kids, youth groups for a long time at your church. Would you be willing to do this position?" And I gave her the roster of the different positions on the leadership team. "Would you pray about being the finance person for this team?" And she said she would pray about it. And I met with her a few days later, and I said, "Well, Peggy, what do you think?" And she said, "Well, I'd love to help, but I think I want to do this position." Well, it was my position she wanted to do. And I'm like thinking to myself, no, I want a finance person, not a co-director. Well, you see, I understand I have no desire to raise money. I really don't. When it comes to finances, let someone else do it. Oh, Lord, that your hand would be upon me, right? So she became the co-director, and she worked for a real estate group, and that real estate group put on a silent fundraiser. They raised just over $7,000. Our little church gave $3,000 And so we had about, well, I don't know, 11,000, right around there. And then I began the task of contacting churches. Oh, Lord, be with me, because I don't want to ask people for money. And I asked God, God, that you would lead me to the right church leaders. Even there were people out in the community that belonged to other churches that I interact with on a regular basis. There's a guy who owned a salt business that we got our salt for our water softener from. And he worked at he went to the Catholic Church. And so I talked to Mo about it and his wife about it, who owned that business. And we got money from that church. And with God's guidance and help, all the money we needed was raised. People were ministered to and lives were changed. God, that your hand would be upon me. What do you think it is that God is wanting you to do? But maybe you have no desire to do it, or you don't feel equipped to do it. Oh God, that your hand would be upon me. It could be something as simple as spending time with the downtrodden, a friend who's having a rough time, or to listen to someone who's hurting, even if you don't want to listen to them. It could be something big like beginning a specific ministry here in the church, or even joining a ministry that's already started. You know, greeting people as they come in is so important in the life of the church on a Sunday morning. I tell you what, I went to a church one Sunday morning and they had greeters at the door, and you know, we were on vacation, and as I approached, the lady looked at me, and then as I got closer, she looked beyond me. She had the door open. She really didn't acknowledge me, and I thought to myself, man, oh, Lord, that you would enable her to do her job. But I didn't feel greeted. I didn't feel warmly received. And so when you greet people, as simple as it seems, it has a lot of power for God to work through as you come to worship God, that you're greeted. It could be something small like that. Extending a hand of welcome. Now, here's my main concern for many Christians. The Spirit says to take our hand, to trust me to guide you and to lead you. And like the little girl on the right, she takes her guide's hand, her parent's hand, and allows her to be led. Like the little boy on the left of Must Be Dad, he follows, but almost unwillingly. His parent's hand is out and is reaching back so that he would take his hand. The boy would take his dad's hand. But the son must reach up to take the hand, to be properly led by the parent. When we pray, God, put your hand upon me, we must purposefully reach our hands up to God's hand. And then follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. When you ask God to be with you and lead you, God will be with you and will lead you. But when you ask, will you be willing to be led by God? Will you reach out and take God's outstretched arm and follow? This week, I know God's going to present an opportunity for you to trust God enough to lead you, to do something that you need to do. Maybe it's something you've been wanting to do, but just haven't had the courage to do it for God. Maybe it's something you don't want to do, but you know that God wants you to do it, and you need to take that step out in faith. Maybe it's something as simple as forgiving someone who's angry with you, or maybe to love someone who's hard to love. Maybe it's to serve in some capacity where you find it difficult to serve. I don't know what it is. But God does. And so when you pray, Lord, let your hand be with me, then look for where the Lord's hand is guiding you. And then take that hand, knowing that God will give you all of the power, all of the courage, all of the words whatever is necessary in that moment, that you would glorify God in doing that. God, breathe upon me your power. Direct me, lead me, help me to follow. And may you, God, be glorified in the obedience of my life. Is that not what we want? Then take the step. Oh, take the step because it's exciting. Take the step because God's going to put you in a place where maybe you could never ever see yourself before. Take the step because God will free you to experience joy. Hey, look what I found. Amen? Let us pray. God, we're so grateful for your love and grace in our lives and that your hand is indeed with us. As your Holy Spirit is with all of those who believe, we ask, God, that you would give us a fresh outpouring of your Spirit into our lives. God, that you would fill our lives to overflowing, that the Holy Spirit would pervade our homes, not just be stuck in a closet, but pervade our homes, our lives, that your joy would be made complete in us. Breathe on us your breath, O God, that we may be empowered to do your will as your hand remains upon each of us here this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,